Welcome back to You Can With AI, a seven-part series on artificial intelligence from KPMG that is part exploration, part blueprint, and focused on helping you and your organization fully leverage the AI opportunity. AI is not a simple solo pursuit. The opportunities represented by AI involve complex, multi-stakeholder engagement. To discuss the key ecosystems surrounding enterprise AI, we're joined by Todd Lohr, a principal and KPMG head of ecosystems and national operations leader for advisory markets. All right, Todd, welcome to You Can With AI. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
This is going to be a fun conversation. I think, you know, you sit in this very interesting seat where you get to touch and see lots and lots and lots of different parts of this broad transformation that's happening. And today we're going to get into what that ecosystem actually looks like, what it means to tap into it. But maybe to kick us off, if you could just share a little bit about what you are doing day to day and the context and perspective that you're bringing to this, that would be super helpful.
Sure. So I guess I have an interesting role at KPMG that's a newer role that was introduced in the last year, which is the head of ecosystems. And so my remit is really focusing on, you know, our longer term strategy and how we deliver against that with a set of third party relationships, both existing, but also kind of net new. Where do we need to go? And really connecting how we think about value creation for our clients and how we do that with other folks in the channel, whether it's service providers, whether it's technology companies, PE firms, academic institutions, right? The whole host of different third parties that we need to bring into that equation to move our business from what we see as participation in ecosystems to really becoming more of an orchestrating lens. Background perspective, prior to that, I ran our tech business and was very focused in AI and have been part of our AI conversations, both on our internal capabilities, as well as helping our clients for the better part of the last decade.
Awesome. So let's start really purposefully broad. This episode is about AI ecosystems. What do we even mean when we say that term? What does ecosystem mean in this context?
Yeah. So from an AI perspective, you need to really go out in your view to a very broad business model, broader enterprise kind of conversation. Because AI, at the end of the day, is not a tactical technology. It's really an enterprise transformational business model disruptor, right? So if you think about AI in that sense, you need to rethink kind of starting with your enterprise strategy, starting with your overall business model and how you think about the future of your business. How do you think about that in sense of what are the different third parties that you need to bring into that equation, right? So depending on industry, it's going to vary, but it can be everything from, you know, the obvious, which is the technology providers, which I would argue most organizations have come to the conclusion pretty quickly that they're not going to be able to build all the technology alone. They're going to have to work with a whole host of different technology providers in this space, you know, ones that they've had historical relationships with, as well as new ones. But it's also other kinds of partnerships. It's consortiums. When you think about, you know, the creation of data and the importance of data and large scale data, it's your service delivery model. So how you actually think about doing work now with your, you know, whether it's your outsourcers or thinking about kind of those different types of relationships, it's your innovation agenda and the partnerships you have to drive innovation. So it's really a pretty extensive view of how you think about the disruption to your business and the different types of organizations or third parties that you need to bring into those conversations.
Let's try to maybe peel this off piece by piece, because to your point, there's a lot here. And let's start with these technology providers. Is there a default? Are people sort of defaulting to the partners they've always worked with? Is this a moment of reevaluation? And maybe how are people balancing the relationships that they know and trust and have had with new opportunities and newer types of technology providers that are emerging on the scene and quickly kind of gaining market share?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of key trends in this area. So what we've seen evolve in the last probably 2 years is not just here's your AI provider, but it's really developing into an AI stack. Everything from compute and data at the core, with refinery, the ability to manage those sets of data, the models themselves, partnering with the LLMs, the assistants, the agents, the layers of kind of interaction, the app layers of your existing landscape, kind of the trusted lens. So like we're actually thinking about it as a more holistic tech stack specific to AI. And so I think to your point, a couple things within that. One is people are gravitating to some of the, you know, the relationships they've already had, right? So I think the first, what we saw in the first kind of wave of adoption, specifically on prompt-based Gen AI, people were going to the hyperscaler that they had a relationship with, and then kind of exposing the large language models through those existing infrastructures, just because it was easier to kind of get that through the fabric of the organization from an adoption perspective, right? Since then, though, you've seen, to your other point, a whole host of whether it's functional capabilities, sector-based capabilities, almost down to like the use case and everything in between. Lots of different startups kind of coming in into the middle of that stack to solve very specific use cases. So that's kind of the one challenge I think organizations have, is being able to navigate the right sets of partners and providers specific to those use cases, coupled with the other major trend, which is the convergence of the tech stack, where you have some of those very large technology companies that are really trying to draw that straight line through the stack, where I call it the Lord of the Rings effect, where there is a single platform to rule them all, where they can really go into that single platform and be able to design the end-to-end AI solutions.
Yeah. One of the things that you brought up that I think is really important to note as we think about ecosystems is, I think one of the things that's surprising to some when they dig into this is that it turns out that to implement and deploy this type of technology, you actually need a whole set of additional technology infrastructure that's probably potentially a different set of companies or providers just to be ready to do this. We talked about this a little bit in our conversation about data readiness with one of your colleagues in a previous episode, but you know, we're now a couple years into this. Do you feel as though we're starting to get a better sense of some of the key pillars of that infrastructure ecosystem, at least from a category perspective, where we know that, you know, when you talk to a company, you know that they're going to need someone who's helping with issue X or issue Y. And if so, what are some of those pillars?
You know, I think it goes back to the same kind of stack conversation. At the end of the day, AI is data, large sets of data, right? And then it's the models around the data. But at the core to most AI is really foundationally the data. So I think one of the core tenets is really having that data component for your enterprise and thinking about your data in a very different way. We've been talking in professional services for at least a decade on data modernization and the need for data as an asset. And we've talked about it. I think AI is really the killer app that is going to drive a lot of organizations to really start getting their data house in order, so to speak, which it's incredibly complicated, right? And incredibly challenging to do when you're creating massive amounts of data day to day. The landscape, your tech stack continues to change. How you think about data continues to evolve, right? So it's a constant push to drive excellence in how you think about your data and how you manage your data at scale. But I think it's going to be critically important to how you actually deploy AI, especially for the use cases that really elevate to the business model disruption, thinking about value chains and the data around that. That's is where it gets really hard, because a lot of that data is locked into silos in your organization and not as easy to expose at the enterprise level. So I think there foundationally, you're seeing that. Obviously, there's the compute side of it, right? So AI is data, combined with compute, typically in the cloud, and then combined with the LLM. So you're going to see kind of that trifecta of those capabilities being brought together. What you're seeing initially is kind of you're seeing companies trying to, again, going back to convergence, where there's a number of technology providers that are trying to drive that end-to-end story. You're also seeing kind of best-in-breed solutions in each of those, and some clients decoupling each one of those pieces and creating their own integrated data story as it relates to AI.
Yeah, this has been a very common theme, sort of like, you know, fully embracing what's necessary with data. And I think especially one thing that's sort of been noticeable and a recurrent through line in these conversations is this sense that there's been some inflection point where we're moving out of, at least many organizations are moving out of the dabbling stage, where there's a lot of sort of high productivity, efficiency gain type use cases, right? Like people creating more great content, thanks to ChatGPT on social media, things like that, into a focus on some of those core, discrete, specific, unique to your organization opportunities that really do implicate new opportunities for growth, business model reinvention. And almost none of those are you going to be able to do with sort of something completely off the shelf. And so there's some amount of work to customize. Yeah. I guess this brings up sort of another aspect of the ecosystem is, do traditional sensibilities about sort of buy versus build even apply anymore? Or is everything just some fuzzy combination of taking something, customizing it, and turning it into whatever you need for it?
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's going to be a combination of buy, build, and partner, right? Like it's going to be all the above. To me, it really comes into kind of your business model and where, you know, you see as your core competency or differentiator in the market. And what's really critical there is looking forward in an AI future, what that core competitive differentiator is, not based upon the business model that's served you well in many cases, decades or even centuries, right? Because that's going to be disrupted by AI. And so if you have that future leaning view, the things that you think are very specific to yourself, you're going to see a lot more. It's really a combination of build partner. I don't think most organizations or any organizations other than the very large tech companies are going to have, you know, the LLMs or kind of create their own foundation models. That's still going to be the market that we see, even with probably further convergence than what we've seen today in that space. But ultimately, it's what you do with those foundation models and how you apply them, either through the data, the refining of data that you bring into it, or the application and the orchestration of the agentic layer around it that is going to be your competitive differentiator, right? So for most organizations, I think they're going to rely on their existing SaaS landscape for how they do more traditional back office functions. A lot of those companies are going to provide AI specific to doing that. There's probably going to be much more buy in those areas where I think there's going to be a lot more build and partnering in things that are more core to your business model.
Yeah, I think that makes complete sense and certainly resonates with what I'm seeing as well. Let's talk about the services provisioning side of this and, you know, think about the systems of deployment. The technology part is the obvious part, but in some ways, these are the parts of the kind of operational ecosystem that are potentially undergoing some of the biggest changes thanks to these changes.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think about, like, if you think about kind of the core skills of how you're going to deploy some of these systems, it's going to be less about like the coding engineering because AI is also automating that, right? So I think some of the things that from a technology perspective were the long pole in the tent to move you an accelerated pace was some of the kind of core build engineering cloud talent that is becoming a little bit, you know, different of a model. What is becoming, I think, more critical is enterprise architecture as a discipline that kind of ebbs and flows over periods of time with the complexity of the disruption coming to the business, understanding the you know, concept around your business and your operating model, the intersection of that, as well as the technology stack, how you're going to orchestrate that integration across, especially when you start applying agents into the mix. I think it's going to create a whole host of like orchestration needs to really think about how you fit and rewire organizations to take advantage of the technology that's out there. Otherwise, it's going to turn into a lot of what I think are going to be sub-optimized incremental improvements that are going to focus on automation, but not necessarily augmentation or moving into disruption.
And does this create a need for or opportunity for either existing partners who are taking on new roles or new types of partners to support not only the technology transformation, but the organizational transformation, the sort of systems design that is helping organizations function as well?
Yeah, look, I think that is the core of what professional services have been doing for the most recent period of time, specifically in kind of the digital work of the last 20 years. Although I think it's moving away from implementing SaaS, right? So like the shift that we certainly see is what I call the inversion of SaaS, right? So we're moving away from professional services company helping our clients and folks implement software as a service to actually starting to think about the disruption of our own business into services provided as software and how you actually think about there's going to be a lot more, you know, how you purchase workforce is not necessarily going to be a professional services. You might be purchasing AI. You might, you know, how you think about your BPO or your outsourcer, that might be an agent, right? So I think there's some complexity coming in how organizations are going to get work done, looking at technology, specifically AI, as a key portion of the workforce and how they consume that.
And how much do ecosystem partners matter in the context of just helping organizations ground themselves in very fast moving best practices? And I feel like that's the sort of knowledge that historically or traditionally finds its way into organizations via ecosystem partners whose job it is to kind of stay on the pulse of those sorts of things.
I think you're going to see over time just a very different evolution of what historically companies have defined themselves in their business model, and that's going to continue to evolve. When you think about the services organizations can provide and how they think about going to market, barriers to entry being changed fundamentally, if you think about the barrier to entry being human capital, I think a lot of companies are going to be disrupted from that perspective. And I think that's where, to your point, the startups are going to start looking at some of these, you know, historic organizations that have been focused in the same areas and think about those business models in a very different way and think about them from a disruption standpoint.
I want to move the conversation in a slightly different direction. How do AI ecosystems vary across sectors? How much is this general versus, you know, highly specific to a particular industry or sector?
Look, I think if this wasn't already the year of the agent, this might be the year of the sector, because that is the general trend. Maybe we can save that for next year. Because I think ultimately you've seen a lot of organizations adopting more basic AI that was really prompt-based, or even some of the agents that we're seeing kind of coming into the market are not necessarily very specialized. But I think that is the value of where AI and agents are going to go. If you think about how organizations have deployed technology, they've invested pretty heavily in software as a service over the last decade plus, and that software as a service is very core across industry, with some products are differentiated by sector. But for the most part, it's the core of how businesses operate. And then you customize that last 20 to 30% specific to how your business works in your sector. I think that is the opportunity for AI to kind of come in and fill what that has been traditionally white space with very specific solutions on top of that existing landscape that is filled with AI versus, say, like custom build workflow as an example. So I think you're going to start seeing a lot more specialization. You're starting to see the formation of consortiums or clients, you know, customers, right? Like sometimes organizations that compete with each other in some places, starting to think about aggregation of data, data aggregators, consortium-based models. So as you start thinking about, you know, even RAG around foundation models or foundation models themselves, I think there are going to be some evolution of those that are going to be very specific to sectors, right? So banking is a good example where they have a foundationally different tech stack in a lot of ways. Healthcare is another good example of that. Supply chain based companies, right? So I think you're going to start seeing more specialized AI moving kind of out of the core common back office type use cases and much more into the specialized use cases by sector.
Yeah. And do you think that that'll create also new opportunities and new challenges for new types of partners to sort of support those sector specific implementations?
Yeah, I think you're going to see a plethora of new market entrants into those areas, coupled with folks that, you know, and that's one of the challenges that I think always big tech has not necessarily become very sector specific, because the ability to position your product and make money is to, you know, rationalize your TAM in a broader market and not necessarily specialize. AI changes that construct. So I think you're going to see even the verticalization of large technology companies that are going to be able to become much more specialized, because AI is going to help their product get more specialized by sector than what it would have in the past.
So there's sort of an interesting tension here, I would imagine, for big companies, where on the one hand, the complexity would potentially select for a trusted partner that can take on lots of parts of that sort of ecosystem orchestration. But at the same time, things are moving so fast that, like you said, there's new market entrants, there's just different types of skill sets, there's specialists in things that didn't exist 6 months ago, so of course they're new. What is the organizational burden from an ecosystem management perspective? Is this a new role, a new category of roles? You know, how are companies thinking about this?
You know, you're certainly in companies like KPMG, it is critical, because it's not just how we manage our relationships, it's to do so on the behalf of our clients that we serve, right? So it's really not only understanding the complexity of our business across a multidisciplinary firm, but also understanding how that extends to pretty much every, you know, company in the world, and how we need to help build those bridges. And look, from our own strategic perspective, it's we see our value creation for our clients in helping them kind of navigate what we see is a much more complex landscape of third parties. And we use the term ecosystem with intent. It's moving from what I think is a traditional, most organizations have a concept of alliances or partnerships where you have lots of one-to-one relationships where you kind of manage those relationships and you plug them into different parts of your business. we use ecosystem because we believe that there's much more of a symbiotic many-to-many. I think you've referenced it in a lot of, you know, when you talk about what's happening in the market, very few press releases are referencing a single company, right? A lot of them are referencing multiple folks coming together and bringing different facets of their capabilities together to do even more complex things for businesses. And so I think, obviously, in professional services, we think it's critical. But I do think also in companies themselves, they're going to start finding much more reliance on different kinds of strategic relationships and partnerships. And the complexity of those relationships are going to continue to evolve and change such that they're going to want someone who's much more focused on those kinds of relationships as a full-time capability.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think that one of the chief organizational capabilities for the next decade at least is going to be operationalizing networks. And, you know, there's been a clear trend for some time. I mean, it's a technology trend, not just an AI trend, that technology creates more opportunities for sort of distributed networks of people who are, you know, specialists or kind of, you know, boutique providers that could be brought together and organized in some way. But AI is really feels like it's instantiating this in a whole new way that I think demands that sort of ecosystem thinking in a way that, you know, maybe wasn't sort of necessary in the same way before.
And it's not even just I would take it maybe a step further from the operationalizing to the monetizing, which you're seeing a lot of organizations starting to think about, like either their relevance in their industry, the relationships they have, the data that they have, and, you know, what are the real strategic assets of insight? In a world where knowledge is becoming ubiquitous and free, how are they thinking about what they bring to the table? And then how do they do a better job of, to your point, operationalizing or ultimately monetizing what are those core competencies in a different way? And I think AI is accelerating that.
Is it an important part of the ecosystem management function then, whether it's being conducted internally or through a systems integration type partner, to understand deeply and sort of embody the values of an organization? I mean, how much is sort of the human, cultural, organizational layer, does that increase in value because there's just sort of endless options from a delivery perspective or from a provider perspective?
Look, I think the word that we tend to use a lot is trust. And obviously from an AI perspective, you've heard all about that. But even if you think about the relationships, the ecosystem, how you orchestrate across those third parties, there's absolutely a critical element of that is kind of cultural fit, trust, building those relationships. It is hard for an organization to be beholden to another organization as part of their ongoing business strategy. And I think that inherent concern is going to slow how you think about, you know, building out those ecosystems and those relationships to disrupt your business. I think it's going to be critical, but I think it is going to come down to building kind of that rapport and trust in that ecosystem and building out those relationships. And that's going to take time.
With that in mind, what practical guidance or first steps would you recommend for business leaders that are sort of more on the early side of you know, their journey towards a robust ecosystem?
Yeah. So, I mean, from an AI perspective, it's really just kind of understanding what is your technology landscape today, right? So going back to who are your big partners today, whether it's in your ERP or your CRM or data, cloud, hyperscalers, et cetera, and just really understand who are those relationships? Who are the ones that, and getting to know their tech roadmap? I think that is one of the critical aspects of it's when you're making decisions around technology, more so than ever, I think more than I've ever seen in the past, it's less about what does the technology do today, but more about what is the roadmap of that technology in the next 18 to 24 months. In some cases closer, right? Like the amount of change that we've seen in the last 12 to 18 months, just with like agents announced around most of these technology companies is just foundationally different. So it's really understanding what technologies you have today, what is the roadmap for where they're going and how does that fit together? And what do you see as kind of the future view of where those technologies are and where do you have gaps? Where do you need to make investments? And then taking that same kind of thinking to the rest of your business model, right? Where do you have ability for scale downstream? Where do you have channel partnerships upstream? Really thinking about your end-to-end value streams as an organization, how do you extend those and whether you need to build into those extensions or whether you need to think about bringing third parties into that ecosystem to be able to extend that value creation and thinking about that and not only in the short term, but then in a longer term view and start building those partnerships. To the earlier point, it takes time, right? So being responsible for building a lot of those bridges for KPMG, it takes years to set that foundation and get the organizations comfortable working together. It can be extremely fruitful when you get it right, but it's good to start early in defining, you know, where you think those strategic gaps are and where the fit is, and start building the relationships and the bridges for the future today.
Speaking of that, another theme that has been very recurrent throughout these conversations has been the challenge of taking action now while knowing that the technology itself is going to change so quickly that things that you spend a huge amount of time and money on right now might be not irrelevant in 12 months, but just incidental in 12 months. Yeah. Do you think that ecosystem thinking, planning, this sort of relationship building, this, you know, infrastructure building is actually part of the answer to solving for that problem by just being prepared to adopt whatever is next?
Yeah, look, at the same time that it creates more risk in the unknown because you're relying on third parties, it also de-risks the level of investment that you need to make as an organization into some of these technologies, right? And again, if you look at the level of investment needed to create some of the really changing enterprise AI solutions, no organization is going to be able to create all of those capabilities. We talked a lot at the beginning of this conversation about like the AI stack and the different components of that. You're not going to be able to build that within your organization. You're going to need to have a set of strategic partnerships to help you do that.
Yeah. I mean, as you can probably tell, this is a part of this whole kind of AI organizational redesign that is, you know, personally super interesting to me. It's been a really great conversation. Any last thoughts for folks who are listening to this and now kind of pumped to go get started on this journey?
Yeah, I think it comes down to just creating the inventory of what you have. And the other thing, much like AI, where you're not going out and separately creating kind of a what do you do with AI, same with ecosystems, you need to think about your enterprise strategy, right? So the most impactful conversations I have at KPMG are with our head of strategy, understanding kind of where we want to take the business for the future and how we bring a set of partnerships and an ecosystem into that strategic conversation versus just having an ecosystem conversation on the side.
Well, Todd, super good food for thought. Really appreciate you taking the time and excited to see how this ecosystem evolves over the next, I don't know, 5 minutes or so until brand new happens.
In the course of the last 30 minutes, it's probably all changed, Nathaniel. So,
we'll have to do it again soon.
Awesome. All right. Take care.
This has been You Can With AI. Check out all 7 episodes and learn how you can better integrate AI into your organization today.